Prepare our minds for that. I'm not going to try to preach very long. And I told Brother Matthew, he said that last Sunday night before he preached. And I said, Brother, I don't say that very often anymore, but I can tell you tonight, I'm not planning on preaching very long tonight because I want us to celebrate the Lord's table tonight. And as is my normal custom as your pastor, we're going to prepare our hearts before we partake of this special time together. And this is one of the sacred ordinances of the church that was prescribed not by an apostle. It was reinscribed by an apostle, but it wasn't proscribed by an apostle, but by our Lord himself before he left this world. Now, when we say the word ordinance, some people don't even know what that means. They just say it. But the word ordinance is an authoritative decree or direction. And before our Lord left this earth, he gave this direction that we shall partake of the Lord's table or the Last Supper or the communion table. There's a lot of different names for it. More of your Orthodox places, they call it the Eucharist, which is actually just a terminology that is used in the New Testament of a Greek word. And we'll not get into all of that, but it is an ordinance of the church to partake of communion. But communion is so much more than just a decree that we obey. It is part of our identity as the church of Jesus Christ. Identity, of course, is one of the hot topics of our society today, which gets frequent attention across all forms of media platforms, and people talk a lot about identity, but there's nothing wrong with having a strong sense of identity as long as it aligns with the Word of God. The desire to understand who we are and what we are here for is natural and it is God-given. The problem arises when we look in the wrong places to discover our identity and purpose. Identity is much larger than just how we view ourselves as individuals. We are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, which Scripture is going to paint some pictures for us. Jesus would tell us to be a part of the church is to be like branches attached to the vine there in John chapter 15. He is the true vine and we are the branches and his Father is the husbandman. What a picture of diversity yet unity bound together, identified as the branches of Jesus. We're also told Paul would use the analogy of us being the body of Jesus and how we being many members are one body fitly joined together, each having their own place. It's a beautiful picture once again of the Church of Jesus Christ. Paul would say in another place, he would compare us to the bride of Jesus. Jesus being the bridegroom, us being the bride, and how it is a great mystery that he spoke concerning Christ in the church. And all these three things and many more besides are some of just the pictures of the identity of the church in the New Testament. One clear way, however, in which the church has been identified since the very first church in the book of Acts has been our time that we spend around the communion table. This was one clear mark of distinction. If you got your Bibles, we're going to go just a few places, a little different tonight. I've just got three thoughts I want us to get to, but we're talking about our identity at the table tonight. One clear way in which the church has been identified since the very first church in the book of Acts has been, of course, our time that we spend around the communion table. Now, it didn't look like this in the book of Acts, but nonetheless, they did celebrate the ordinance of communion. This was one clear mark of distinction that separated Christianity from the rest of society, and it still does so today. In fact, or if you will, Acts chapter 2. We read this verse. I just want to read one verse of Scripture to segue into this tonight. Acts 2 and 42, Luke would write these words. He said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." I will tell you, if you'd highlight that little phrase, breaking of bread here, it is most likely a reference to the communion time, the time spent around the Lord's table. So
The breaking of bread here is more than just eating good meals. It is a reference to times of celebrating communion. This was part of the church's identity as much as the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship of the saints, and prayer was, because it identified them as separate from the rest of mainstream society. They would gather together and have this meal in remembrance of their Savior. This would continue to be a clear marker of identity for the church. The Roman world would begin to hear about this practice, what they called a strange and a pagan practice, is what they referred to communion as. And they misunderstood it because they thought that Christians were quite literally cannibals. They believed when they overheard them talking about partaking of the body and drinking the blood, they took it literal. They thought that we were actually sacrificing people, and they considered it a pagan ritual. But yet, nonetheless, the church didn't forsake this great ordinance, and it remains to this day as one of the clear indications that we identify with the great and the glorious church of Jesus Christ. 2,000 years later, we still identify around the Lord's table. And there we identify with the work of the cross. We identify with the forerunners who have gone before us, the church that has blazed the trail, so that now in 2023 we can celebrate communion with confidence and know that we are part of the great church of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, I want to talk tonight about our identity around the table. The table is, of course, a reference to communion tonight. If we as Christians want to understand who we are, we must look to Jesus Christ. As the God-man, He is the true revelation of both God and humanity. He alone can reveal to us who we are. And one concrete way to that He reveals our identities is through the appointed supper of communion. There are three things I mentioned I want to make clear and distinct tonight about our identity when we gather around the communion table. First of all, it is this: we are a people who remember. We are a people who remember. Got your Bible still open there? Luke chapter number 22. You shouldn't have to turn far if you're still there in Acts chapter 2. Luke 22 verse 19. On the night of our Lord's death, when He instituted communion, He would declare these words. Bible says, Luke 22 and 19. And He took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, "This is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." We are a people, when we identify around the communion table, we are identifying as a people who remember what Jesus did on our behalf. The Lord's Supper, along with baptism, is one of the most debated Christian practices. Believers from various traditions disagree over what exactly happens during the meal. Oh, they disagree over how frequently that should be celebrated. Some people do it every week. Some denominations do it once a month. We do it twice a year here on average. And if I feel led to do in between there, we will. But really, one thing that we do not debate is that in this time, we remember who Christ is and what He has done on our behalf. Many of us do not realize that the Lord's Supper is also a time in which we remember who we are in Christ. It's not just what Christ has done for us, but it's about our identity in Him and who we are in Christ. Indeed, Christ Himself forms and fortifies our identities in this meal, because He is present to us and He lives on the inside of us. And just as food and drink strengthen the body, so Christ's body and blood received by faith strengthen our souls in a way that helps us understand who we are in Jesus Christ. We realize that we have a position in Him when we gather around the table, that we are part of His beloved. The Lord's Supper shapes our identity in part because the meal is compared to the Passover. The Passover was a ritual feast whereby the Israelites meditated on God's saving actions and reassured themselves of who they were as God's people. They identified themselves with the Exodus generation every time they celebrated the ritual of Passover. Well, we don't celebrate Passover, we celebrate communion, because every time we do so, we celebrate the fact of what Jesus did for us and the fact that what he did for us has placed us in him, and we remember these things. You know, many people today think that to remember is merely to think about something from the past. But biblically, to remember involves bringing the past into the present. You know what? When we celebrate communion, we're not just looking at something that happened 2,000 years ago. We're looking at something that is alive and real even today. Oh, yes. So when we remember Christ in this supper, we are not thinking about someone who is absent and disconnected from us by 2,000 years. Rather, we are, by faith, identifying with and being shaped by someone who is with us and indeed in us. Can I encourage you tonight? Remember something as we gather around this table tonight. That Christ, this, we're not just looking back on something that happened 2,000 years ago. We're looking right now into the present at a work that is just as real today as it was 2,000 years ago. And the same blood that cleansed 2,000 years ago that flowed from Calvary still cleanses today. The same body that was broken. Oh, he said that it was broken for our transgressions is the same body of Jesus Christ that we commemorate today. It's not just something we look back to. It is something that we enjoy in this moment, because biblically speaking, to remember something is to bring something that is in the past into the present. That's what we're going to do tonight. When we eat the bread and drink the cup, we taste who we are, so to speak. People loved and redeemed by the Lord of all life. We belong to him and we are made to be like him. And when we feast on Christ by faith, he transforms us more and more into his own image. Oh, yes, you say, Brother Shane, I don't know about that. What really could eating some oyster crackers and drinking some grape juice do for us? It's the fact that we, in memory of him, in remembrance of what he did, oh, we bring that past work into the present, and we realize that we are now, as Paul said, seated with Christ in heavenly places. We bring that past work into the present, and we realize that it's not just Christ who walked on the earth 2,000 years ago, but it is Christ in me, the hope of glory, as Paul would say in the book of Colossians. So as we gather around this table, first of all, our identity is as people who remember. Second of all, we are people who commune. Does anybody know what the word communion actually means? Anybody know? We use it a lot, but what does the word communion actually mean? What's that? Anybody? It is fellowship. To commune in the Greek is the Greek word for fellowship, to share, to participate together, to communicate, or to enter into partnership. So not only are we people who remember, but when we gather around this table, we are people who commune. We are people who have fellowship. It's the same word that John would use in his first epistle there. And he said, we have fellowship one with another as we walk in the light, as he is in the light. Oh, we have fellowship. We have partnership. We participate one with another in the glorious resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We participate together because the same Spirit of God that lives in you now lives in me as well. We are participants together of something that is alive and glorious. So when we say we're gathering around the communion table, we are saying we're gathering around a table of fellowship with our Lord and one with another, is what we are saying. 1 Corinthians 10, if you got your Bible still open, turn there with me. Paul said it this way. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, he said, the cup of blessing, speaking about the cup of signifying the blood of Jesus, which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? In other words, he said, is it not participation of the blood of Jesus Christ, or fellowship with the blood of Jesus Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the fellowship or the participation or the partnership of the body of Christ. The Lord's Supper subverts the notion that identity is an individualistic enterprise, because in this meal we participate with Christ. He invites us around his table to participate in the goodness of who he is, to know his mercy, to know his love. Behold, what manner of love is this? Oh, that we should be called the sons of God. We participate in that when we gather around the communion table. Thus, many Christians rightly call this meal communion. By it, we fellowship with Christ and remember that we are people who live in vital connection with Christ. Like the branches that are joined to the vine or the body that is joined to the head, we are nothing apart from him, and he is our life. In him, we live, we move, and we have our being, as Luke would write there, the words of Paul as he preached there on Mars Hill. We participate in Christ as well in the life of the church, who is vitally connected to Christ as its head. So as we gather around this communion table, we're not only celebrating the fact that we participate in Christ's life, but we participate in each other's lives. Because you have just as much right to gather around the table and partake of the sacraments tonight as I do. There are no little I's and big U's or vice versa. Oh, we all have a participation together. And you know what this preacher's thankful for tonight? The same blood that washed me washed you. And it'll wash my children. And it'll wash my grandchildren if the Lord tarries and he allows and they put their faith in him. And when we gather around this table, we are communing with saints who are long dead, so to speak. We are gathering together and we are commemorating something, not only remembering it, but we are fellowshipping with them in faith by saying that the same blood that cleansed them cleanses me. The same body which was broken for their transgressions is broken for mine as well. It's a time of communing one with another. It's a special time as we do this, to gather around one with another and to be able to say that we who were not a people are now made a people. Oh, different backgrounds, different lineage, different heritage. Oh, we may have come from different countries originally, but tonight we've gathered in this place and we are going to commune one with another before our Lord around the Lord's table. We are not isolated selves. We do not have the inner resources to become whatever we want to be, nor do we have the leeway to live however we want. We are joined to the Lord Almighty, who has alone has a rightful claim on all of creation. And we belong to the body of Christ, the community of faith that shapes us and shows us how to live. So whenever we gather around this table, not only are we declaring that we are a people who remember, but we're declaring we are a people who commune and have fellowship, number one, with our Lord, and number two, one with another. Third point, we are people who proclaim. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, we proclaim Christ's death until he returns. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. You shouldn't have to turn far. Maybe just the very next page if you still got your Bibles open. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. Oh, Paul writes these words under the inspiration of the Spirit. He said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." That word "to show" quite literally in the Greek means to proclaim, to declare, to preach, to show, to speak of, and to teach. So in other words, this is a declaration. Tonight, not only is it a participation, but it is a declaration unto all those who behold it that this is what my Savior has done for lost sinners. You know what it is? It's a living example of just how far God will go to redeem a lost soul. It is the answer to the question of people who ask, is God really a loving God? As we gather around this table, it is a living representation that God loves us so much. He loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It's the living representation of that. It's the proclamation of it. And as we gather around the table, we We are proclaiming that Christ has died in our place, and because he has died, we can live.
Oh, I'm reminded of the words of Paul, Galatians 2 and 20. Brother Matthew might have mentioned it last Sunday night. I can't remember. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, and we gather around the table, if you would, that's what we're proclaiming. Oh, I am crucified, I am dead, but Christ lives on the inside of me, and the life that I live by the faith of the Son of God.
Paul writes in another place in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall appear with him in glory.
Oh, when we gather around this communion table tonight, we are proclaiming that Christ is our life. He is our everything. We are declaring to this world, oh, they look at it, they say it's a foolish practice, it's a waste of time. Oh, it has absolutely no significance. They don't view it any different than other traditions that people make up in their families. They think it has absolutely no purpose and no power behind it, but we know differently. We don't believe like the Catholics do. We don't believe that it actually turns to blood and turns to flesh as we partake of it, but we do believe by faith that we are making a proclamation that Jesus Christ and the work that he did on Calvary will stand for all eternity.
Because the cry of eternity will be this: send us the Lamb.
Oh, and nobody else is worthy to partake of the book in the book of Revelation. Nobody else can open the seals. Nobody else can. You know what John said? He said, I saw a lamb as though he had been slain. Oh, he said, I wept in heaven before that. But he said, then came out the lamb. And he said, the 24 elders fell down and began to worship him. All of the beasts with all of the eyes and the heads pointing in different directions and heads of different animals. And he said, I couldn't hardly describe them, but he did the best he could. He said, they worshiped the Lamb. Oh, there was great praise in heaven. He said, a multitude that man could not number. Why is that? Because the work of Christ is eternal, and it will be the reason that we sing his praises for all eternity.
And we participate in that, but not only participate, we proclaim it tonight as we partake of this meal. We are proclaiming that there is no work like this work. And who but God can do such things as these? Who but God could come up with such a plan to take a black heart, wash it in red blood, and make it whiter than snow? Who but God could take a wretched sinner and turn him into a saint to live and proclaim the glories of God? Oh, he hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we may show forth the praises of him. That is the purpose, that we may show forth his praises, to proclaim the message, to make it known. And as we gather around this table tonight, that's exactly what we are doing. I bring this thing to a close tonight. The seemingly mundane elements of the Lord's table force us to reimagine who we are. We are a people who remember. We are a people who commune. And we are a people who proclaim. They reveal that we are a people who belong to Christ. A people identified with Christ. Aren't you glad he isn't ashamed to identify with us? When we eat this tonight, you know what we're proclaiming? Christ isn't ashamed to identify with me. He identified with me on the cross so that I can identify with him every day of my life. They reveal that we are a people who belong to Christ, a people shaped by Christ, a people becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. You know what I hope? I hope we did communion the Sunday night before Thanksgiving last year. You know what I hope? This is my prayer as a pastor, and only you can answer. I hope that this communion finds you closer and more in love with Jesus Christ than last communion. Because every time we do it, oh, we realize that we love Him more. I hope you love Him more tonight. We are proclaiming, I love Him more today than I did last week because I found Him to be my all in all. We are redeemed by Him and we exist for Him. He is our life and He determines our identity. When we look to Christ in the most holy of meals, we see more clearly who Christ is and who we are in Him. And we commune with Him. We become more like Him. The table, the communion table, truly reshapes and fortifies our identity. I want us to stand tonight. We're getting ready to pray. We're going to enter into our time where we partake of the sacraments in a moment. Knowing that this time of communion is a declaration about our identity. This time at the table is a declaration about our identity. There are three things I want to encourage you about. For number one, remember, as I already said it, remember what Christ has done. But not only remember what Christ has done, as you partake of the sacraments tonight, I want you to remember your position in Him. Oh, what He has placed you in, that you're part of the body of Jesus Christ. Bring the past into the present because He is here with us today. He's not a God of the dead. He is a God of the living, is what the Bible says. Second of all, I'll say this, and some of you are going to look at me funny, but it's okay. Repent. If there is anything in your life, you say, Brother Shane, I don't need to repent. Are you sure? Because I'm going to tell you, this is a serious time. We're going to rejoice. That's my last point I admonish you on. But before you rejoice, make sure your life's clear. If there is anything between your soul and your Savior, do not partake of communion tonight. And I admonish you that as your pastor. Because Paul would say this. He said, any man that drinketh this meal or eateth, partaketh of this meal unworthily, drinketh damnation unto his own soul. So I would be remiss without giving you an opportunity to check over your life. I know I've been announcing it for a while, but maybe something's happened and you want to make sure everything's right. So I say it's that simple, repent. And that's not just a word for sinners. There's times Christians need to repent as well. Yes, if it's wrong, make it right. Third, rejoice. We have remembered and repented. Oh, that we have everything right to rejoice. This is one of the great truths of this time. This isn't a time to hang our head in shame, but a time to lift our heads in joy. That's the purpose of this meal. It's not supposed to be some people take it almost as if, a fear and a tremble, brother. And I understand that. I respect you having reverence for the Lord's table. I'm not saying that. But don't make it all this fearful dread to approach unto the Lord's table, because in Jesus Christ we should be able to hold our heads high and rejoice because my Savior did this for me. So every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Oh Lord, we thank You. We praise You tonight as we're getting ready to partake of the Lord's table. Lord, I pray that You would bless this time of communion. Lord, as we remember what You have done, not just simply in the past, but Lord, we remember the fact that You are with us right now in this moment. And I believe You have special fellowship with Your saints around this table. And I pray, Lord, bless this time. Lord, I ask You, Lord, that we would look over our hearts. And if there is any that have failed to prepare their hearts until now, Lord, let them repent now. We give time for that. We give leeway for that, Lord. Oh, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. And Lord, finally, I pray, Lord, let us rejoice in the work of Calvary. For us to live is Christ. And I pray, Lord, let Him be our life tonight. Let us proclaim that in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. Let us rejoice tonight as we gather around the table, and let our hearts be filled with wonder and love as we thank You for all that You have done. And we ask all of these things in Jesus Christ's name and for Your glory. Let it be done. Amen and amen.